Make time, not excuses. Get started. Let it evolve.
Yeah.
And do more, right? Yeah. Like,
just keep growing.
Think bigger, right? Yeah. Think bigger, and then more evolution will happen.
Real business owner. Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from. Yeah. Where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward.
Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast with myself, Trevor Cowley. As always, Kilo G.
What's up, everybody?
And big dog, little dog, youngest dog, definitely not the oldest dog, Kyler Dog.
What's up, guys?
Now, we wanted to have Kyler on. I mean, his brother's been on before.
The Terry Caden, Bros.
Yeah. Caden Terry. Kyler has done some awesome things as well. You know, we were actually really impressed with your brother, and have been really impressed with you with some of the stuff that you've been able to accomplish. And so back-to-back youngest guests that we've had on the show, and that's what we were just debating, whether you're the old dog or the young dog in terms of the Terry Bros in regards to being a guest. But, dude, we're excited to have you on and excited to kind of hear your journey through, you know, I guess entrepreneurship.
In high school, right?
Today he just barely graduated or walked with his class that he said he woke up this morning super stoked and excited about it. He couldn't wait to walk with his class and go to graduation, right?
Oh, yeah. We were pumped about it was, that. Yeah,
so yeah. Pumped. His parents forced him to do the whole walking thing. Obviously, as an entrepreneur, he didn't want to be there. He'd rather be doing something a little bit different. But, yeah, tell us a little bit about, like, maybe the way that you guys grew up, because you guys are turning out very similar, right? And so that says a lot about the environment that you guys were raised in, is raising certain type of people, obviously hard workers, you know,
entrepreneurial minds,
yeah. You know, you guys both went to serve a mission. You're going to go serve a mission. Like, obviously you guys are walking the very same path.
In high school, most kids are like, dude, how can I get a job at the Dairy Queen or, you know, at the grocery store or pushing carts or car wash or, you know what I mean? Whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you know, their just kids are like, they want a little bucks. Side gig, yeah, make some money through bucks. High school. These guys are like building 6-figure businesses in high school and working for themselves. All right. And like, let's be real. Most adults can't figure that out. These guys are figuring it out and they're freaking crushing it in high school.
Yeah.
So there's got to be some patterns, right? Maybe we need to interview your dad next. But,
yeah.
Or is it your mom? Which one should we interview?
Both. Yeah.
Do you have other siblings or what? Like, interview the whole family? And
we might need to extend the table and the room.
Yeah. Well, keep sending the Terrys this way, you know?
But yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. It's been a fun ride. Like, me and Caden, we have always like had the ambition to be entrepreneurs and stuff, but we were so young and I never really knew like what I wanted to do. And then the first thing we had ever done was a mobile detailing company. My dad had a car finance company, and he's like, hey, we're paying these guys to detail these cars for us. Like, why don't we just pay you guys? I'll help you out and we can get some chemicals and stuff. And so he had given us a loan for like $350 and we had bought like a detailing kit that came with everything we needed to detail the cars inside and out.
And how old were you at this time?
I was honestly probably 11 and Caden would have been 13. Mm. So a little bit ago. But yeah, at first I remember I was like, I don't really want to do it. Like, I'm just still a kid. Like, I'm playing baseball and all this and I'm having fun playing baseball. And then we freaking started detailing. And then one car a day turned into two cars a day, three cars. And we were just like grinding these cars out. And we're seeing these checks come in of these, like, because we charge $200 a car.
Yeah.
And so we'd get paid like every week. My dad would just pay us every week for all the cars that we detailed that week. So we'd see this money come in. And then that's where we started getting like a little more hungry. And then we bought an extractor. It puts water down into the carpet and then vacuums it out. And so like we're getting more and more legit. And then probably a year later, we had bought a detailing trailer, put a water tank in there. We had our big extractor, all the chemicals we needed. And so it's...
So you had to learn about reinvesting back into your business?
No, yeah, for sure.
You know, and even at 11 and 12?
Yeah, like that extractor, for instance, was like $1,200.
Yeah.
But it was legit, like it would get the job done. And so it was pretty cool to... It's almost like a level up. And then the next level up was the trailer. And then just from there, we've just grown into.
Was the conversation with your dad like, Dad, we need this extractor. We could be like way better. And he's like, buy it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or so, was it like, you know.
No. So he was like, if you guys feel comfortable doing it and if you feel like it'll get cars done quicker. Because what we were doing, we had an old vacuum, like a carpet extractor, but it was for like carpets in a house. Mm. And it just had one little wand and like a crappy like little head that would suck the carpet out. And it didn't work the best. And so we started looking and yeah, he didn't doubt us for a second. He's like, if it's going to help you guys detail these cars faster and better then and make you guys more money, then yeah. Take the jump yeah. For sure.
Like Kobe would have been like, Dad, buy this for me so I can make more money.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'd be like trying to give him this lesson yeah. And he'd be like rolling his eyes at me. You yeah. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The very end, yeah, I get it. Cut the check.
Yeah.
Dad, I got a car detailing business. Yeah. I need you to buy my equipment. Your dad's like, hey, if you feel comfortable, yeah. Buy it.
Yeah, so at that time we had the money to buy the extractor ourselves and pay him off, but it was pretty cool to just grow from the $350 loan, and that's really like what we've turned to now is just that loan from my dad, and then we started flipping cars, and we can talk about that more later, and then that led to bin blasters, and then real estate, and so it's just been kind of a fun.
Look at this guy talking about his fucking portfolio and shit. Yeah,
yes. Yeah, he's like, I've got this.
And his hands keep unfolding like this yeah. With new stuff every time. Bin blasters, the real estate, dude. It sounds, dude, it's cool as shit.
How much money will you be making while you're going on your LDS mission?
I've got it set up to where my partners, my dad and my brother, they'll take care of it to where I'm gone. Cause like Caden left and we hadn't started bin blasters or any real estate. And yeah. So he left and then I got the Bin Blasters rolling. So Bin Blasters is a franchise and we can talk about it more later too, but it's a franchise that my dad started up north and then he's taken it all over the country and he's like,
oh, is that?
Yeah, talk to him about it. It's the trash cans.
Trash can cleaning company.
I knew what it was. I just didn't know that your dad started it up in Salt Lake or whatever.
Yeah, so now they're everywhere, cool. Like Illinois, California, yeah. Phoenix. They're all over. And he kind of wanted to be like watch what my boys can do. And so me and Caden brought it. Caden was still on his mission, and I had brought it here to St. George. My dad's helped me the whole way. Like, and then Caden got home. He's kind of taken it over. We're starting to do dumpsters now. So for the listeners, it's a trash can cleaning company.
Yeah.
We have a plan that we come monthly, quarterly, and we've kind of transitioned it to one big plan called the clean can plan that we charge monthly, and then we come clean it whenever you need the cans clean.
And my wife does it. She loves it.
Yeah.
I'm like, who cares? It's a trash can. She's like, they stink. I hate them. The flies, blah.
Yeah.
You know?
No, but like when the...
It's true.
I mean, just bought it without even talking
to me. But like, dude, it's true. Like, it is nasty. It's stinky. Yeah, it's whatever, it right? Like, yeah. It's all that shit. And you just drag it out there. It's like, damn, dude, you do think like they need to be cleaned out, but then it's just like, it's a trash can though.
Yeah.
You know, like, but you guys literally, I think at one point built like a team where you guys went out. Did you guys go out door to door, neighborhood?
Yeah.
Because like there's an educational thing that has to happen, mm-hmm. right? The consumers need to know what's available in the market. And like everybody kind of have had those thoughts like, man, it'd be really nice if somebody cleaned out these trash. I'm not going to do it, right?
Yeah. Well, because you guys' truck does a lot of the work, right?
Oh, everything.
And so before that, my wife was paying those kids. Yeah. They'd come over with the freaking scrub brush and it still didn't take them a long time. Mm-hmm. It was like, hey, they use our hose.
And then it's left on your
soap,
driveway.
And it's to do that shit out in the gutter. But she likes her trash cans clean. Yeah. So she was paying for that. So dude, it's like brilliant. You and your family are like, hey, let's build a...
Yeah. So it's a
trucks that will like literally just drive up like the trash trucks and they like pick them up, freaking high pressure, spray them out. Yeah.
200 degree water, drop them. All the stuff stays in the back of the truck, like all the crap out of the can.
Anything comes out. Yeah.
We drop them, spray them with lavender, clean off the outside and then walk them back up to your house. But like you said, like when I first started driving the truck and I was doing it day to day, I had so many moms like, hey, like I took the pressure washer to it like last week and all the crap just comes back on my face. Like, do you have a card that I can do? And then that kind of like that I can have and I can sign up. And then that kind of sparked something in my head. I was like the people know that they need their trash cans cleaned. And so like we need to get door to door. Like we had Facebook ads going and they were doing good, but we need to get door to door, get these guys pressured and like get them signed up right there. And so I had brought on a manager, a kid that Caden went to school with, and he's killing it now. And he's over all the door-to-door sales kids. And the first week we had like 20 kids sign up, and then next week like another 20 kids sign up, and they're just we're having meetings out here in the middle of town, and they're just blitzing the crap out of the area. And then like at one point we
how
had like
how much did they make per house?
So they
it's like a one-time commission or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that was back when we were doing monthly, quarterly, and then just like one time.
You didn't have the program you have now.
Yeah. So they were making good money, and we'd pay them all up front. But we've kind of restructured it with the new program. But it's been pretty cool. Like at that point we had like 55 sales kids. And now we've kind of cut it down to just like just the
sales kids. When you just graduate, like just walk
major out there.
Like
It's hard to say no to younger kids, I'll bet.
Yeah.
It oh, is. Yeah. Dude.
So, like, what were the age ranges that you had of all of these door to door hustlers?
Like, young, like 14, 18.
14.
Yeah.
So,
and like, some of our best salesmen were the young kids that were just freaking killing it. Like, how are you going to have a
14 year old at your door saying,
can we clean your trash cans?
Yeah. And then they think that like, they're going to go spray it out, and the big like, truck drives up.
Dude,
and,
this guy.
I thought I was so smart when I was 14 because that's when I sold marijuana in middle school. Like that was my first sales job.
You're a hustler.
But kids don't have money, bro. Like,
yeah.
If I was smart, I would actually have been like hustling trash cans, cleaning to like ladies with money.
Yeah, for sure.
But I did what a cool thing back. Though. Like for real. Like think about it. Like the entrepreneurial spirit that you've sparked in these 14-year-old kids.
Yeah.
You know, because when I got my first like telemarketing job. Mm-hmm. Wasn't far after selling weed because that didn't last. I didn't want to do it anyway. Uh-huh. But like I got my first telemarketing job at a place called Western Watts. Like I had no idea if I was going to be good or not, you know. But I started climbing the ranks, and it sparked something in me. It gave me a little bit of belief in my like sales ability, right? And it's like you're doing that for these freaking kids, man. On top of building a freaking cool ass business. You know?
So we had like meetings every week, and we'd like. Pounding like these kids. Yeah. No, but that's really what it is. Like these little
self-improvement stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'd like pound into these kids. Like you're doing like one of the hardest things right now. The rejection that you're going to get at the door is going to set you up for life. Like if you can learn to make a sell like 1 out of 10 times, then like you're getting slammed in the face 9 times out of 10. Like you're going to be doing crazy things in
life's
life.
Easy after that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. All
you go home
from
to
there.
Loving parents. Yeah, everybody, you know? Like the grump at the gas station looks nice.
Yeah,
you know?
Seriously. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of what average is, right? When we talk about people is like they're constantly running from and afraid of rejection, right? Instead of like people that are more highly successful, that is one of the main attributes is like they are willing to face rejection and still persevere, right? And so like, dude, again, it's
I think
so
it is
cool,
badass.
Man. Like,
I love it.
Dude, sign Kobe up, bro. He needs to get out slinging some trash cans.
Let's get Kobe out there. Kobe would kill it.
He would be good.
So like when you're gone on your mission and you know, your brother's kind of doing ops or whatever.
Dividends are coming.
Yeah. Are you going to get your draws and your dividends as one of the partners or do you reduce your pay or like?
No. So we'll still own it the same.
Yeah.
Everything we do, we still own it equally just because I had done it while he was gone.
Yeah.
And now he's kind of taken over when I'm gone.
So it's like scratching each other's back. Yeah. Like, hey, I'm gone. Taking I got you. Time. You're gone. I got, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Cool.
Just the stuff that like the cars, that's just me just because he was gone and couldn't really do anything with that. But like the bin blasters and the real estate, that's both of us. And he'll kill it with cars while I'm gone too.
Yeah.
So yeah, it'll be pretty sweet.
So did you guys ever like have competitions of who's going to sell the most cars? Because he was flipping cars, I think on his episode 3 or 4 years ago. He did that first, I would guess prior to you being a couple years older. Mm-hmm. Right. And then you just decided to like, dude, I'm going to shatter like all my brother's records or what of sales.
So how that went down was it's funny because it's right after the detailing. So right after the detailing, we started getting into cars because we would go to dealerships and ask if we could detail their cars. And so we got relationships with them. And that kind of led to like, hey, we had a dealership here in town. They're not there anymore. But they're like, hey, we have these cars that we got in as trades, like they're kind of crappier cars. We don't want them here on the lot. Like they're fine. They're good running cars. They're just a little bit older and we don't have the room on our lot. So would you want to take them home, clean them up and sell them for us? And so we did just that. And we sold the cars through the dealership and Kane and I actually started doing that together. And we had always done it together for probably like a year or two. And then we kind of split off and as he was getting ready for his mission, he kind of got into like the nicer cars. Like I think he flipped like a Tacoma or something. And then he left And I started doing like higher end, like exotics and like bigger stuff like that. And that's kind of what I'm doing today. Just right, I'm kind of chilling out right before my mission. But that's kind of what it led from, was the dealership cars. That.
So did you decide to get your like car dealer license?
So my dad has that. So back in the day, we were just selling them through those dealerships just because they were still their cars. We were just selling them. And then my dad got his license. And so now
you buy cars through the license and bring them back and flip them.
Yeah.
But some things you could do, you don't even need a license for, right? Like when you called me, when I was like flipping that Tesla.
Yeah.
I just threw it up on Facebook Marketplace and not Craigslist, KSL.
KSL.
And I mean, I was just getting all this hate over the price and shit. And then Kyler calls me up, which a bunch of dealers called me up, right? Kyler's like, hey, he didn't even know that it was me at first, I don't think. Did you?
No.
And so we put it together. I was like, oh, yeah, dude. Like, I'm like, I'll tell you what, bro. Like, this is my minimum. Anything you sell it for above that, like, you can have. And he was like, well, I want there to be upside for both of us. So how about anything I sell it for, like, we'll split or whatever. I was like, totally fine, dude. I was trying to move it really quick. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up having a dude off my KSL ad call me. He's like, I'll give you cash today. So I just freaking sold it at my bottom price. So hope you don't feel like I gypped you.
No, because it's funny.
Because he came over, he took time, he took pictures and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But
the next day, like, I remember, I think I had a guy that wanted to come look at it and whatever. But
and I was like, sorry, dude.
I like from that deal is that kind of sparked, like, I don't even need the cash like up. I can just sell these people's cars. So KSL Marketplace, I'm messaging people. And this is what I do now. I'm messaging people all day long. Like, hey, can I help you sell your car? Like I just take a flat fee. Like I don't want a percentage. Like, let me just help you sell your car. And then if you're looking for a new car, we can run that car in as a trade. And I can make like another $1,000 or whatever on your new car.
So that you need a dealer license for.
Yeah.
But if you would have been like calling me up.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have a trade. I was just trying to flip it. Like,
yeah.
People could literally go find those deals right now.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So, you wouldn't need a license for that just because all I'm doing is adding value to you and just helping you sell it. Yeah. So that's all I'm doing. Like all I did for you was just like take pictures. It was already clean. So take pictures and list it. And then should probably show.
Well, you were listing it on different platforms I didn't even know about.
Yeah.
You know, so, if I had a little more time, I probably would have sold it. But,
That's cool.
So just to like shut up a ton of excuses that people have in life. Right. And we all have them in certain ways and areas. Right. So, but for people that are in business and they just feel like they can't do anymore, like how does a high school kid go to school all day long, do baseball, which I know it takes up a lot of time because my son's in baseball, you know, like I know he does private lessons and stuff. Maybe you don't do that. Maybe you do, but, hit the gym.
He
drives the trash bin truck.
He skips the gym all the time.
Hit KSL for leads on flipping, cars, do detailing, you know, like how do you have all these streams of income and do baseball and do high school and do the gym and do it all?
He skips the gym and it makes a lot of time.
Yes, that makes up for a lot of time.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
You ain't seen us in there very much lately, dude. I've been working out in the garage, bro.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. He asked this morning. Where are you going?
I went, I would see him.
Yeah.
I would go a little later than you, though.
He'd squeak in every so often.
Yeah, I'm there every once in a while.
Oh, man. No, but you would put in work. That's a great question. Yeah. That's a great question because you did have a lot on your plate.
Yeah. I would say finding, and you guys know this too, but finding like the best partners you can and making sure that they know that you have their back just like you're going to have their back. You know what I mean? So like, for example, Caden left and I had his back and then I'm leaving and he's going to have my back. But also on top of that, when you're looking to hire people that are more qualified than you are. So like, I suck at like texting back. You probably saw that. Like I suck at texting back. I might take a little bit to text back. And then like, I hate replying.
I was about to cancel the show, dog. Say never mind, son. You got 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, dog.
Like you got 5 minutes now. To text back. Yeah. But I don't like, it's hard for me to respond to emails and like text back. So I have a customer service lady that handles all that. And she's so good with like communicating and being patient with the people that are having a problem with their trash cans being clean, and she takes care of all of that. Like, that is not one of my strengths. And so I'm going to look to hire and have someone help me with that along with like,
so you already know how to delegate.
Yeah. So that's a big one is delegating and then delegate.
Thanks.
What a knowledgeable young fella. Like I said, dude, I want to see your birth certificate. You held your ass back 10 years ago.
10 years.
There's no damn way, dude, that you're 17, 18, bro. You're 28, dude.
Yeah.
You gotta be,
dude. I wish.
With the experience, you got you got probably more than 28 years worth of wisdom and experience.
Like, I wish I was 28. I'd already have 40 million. Oh,
man, dude. You should see me at 28.
Dude, I'm just freaking.
I'll have 100. Yeah.
I'm just glad I'm done with high school.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Everyone asked me, this is something we can talk about too, everyone asked me if I'm going to college. I'm like, no.
Hell no.
Heck no, no.
The only reason why anybody should really go to college is for the experience of just like hanging out with bros if they want to hang out with bros. Yeah. Unless you know very specific. Like, look, bro, there's 40-year-old people on this planet right now that have no idea what the hell they want to do with their life. And you're going to want to ask an 18-year-old going into college what they want to do for the rest of their life?
Yeah.
When how many – last episode we talked about seasons of life. We're always evolving and changing, but you're going to ask somebody that doesn't even know quite who they are to their core what they want to do for the rest of their life, right? Which is, you know, in most cases people are making mistakes. They get halfway through school and then they – so if anything, you would just chalk it up. Like, if you're going to be a doctor, then cool. Or a lawyer, cool. Or a CPA, cool. You know, like, there's specific, you know, you disregard those. Outside of very specific industries, you're only going for experience of being young. In most cases, those are people that want to party and this, that, the other. Obviously, you're going on a mission. So maybe that lifestyle doesn't appeal to you and you already know you want to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah. And so I don't really see it adding a ton of value, like when I can get that same value, probably, if not probably better, from a course or a book or a mentor, rather than sitting in a classroom and like, okay, open to page 456, we're going over the freaking Pythagorean theorem or whatever the crap that
we don't even know. We couldn't pronounce
it. Yeah, this side seriously, of the table, dude. Homie. But like, that's kind of something that I've always thought, like, why would I want to learn something and pay all this money and from a book rather than learn it from the best of the best, like with a course or something like that.
In modern times, like, dude, I wouldn't be ashamed if I needed to get some mentorship from you. Mm-hmm. Right. Say I was like, hey man, I really want to do this thing, or, you know, with my son, right? Like, I could like learn so much from you on that because I obviously don't have that experience. Yeah. Right. And so there's like a lot of, I think, old dogs that are kind of like, they see these younger generation coming up and crushing it in ways, and they kind of they don't have enough humility to like learn from them, right? I do see that out in the world, right?
Yeah,
but true. I do see people willing to do it too. Yeah, but like at the end of the day, like the young generation, especially the ones that are ahead of the curve, they have a really good pulse on like what's trending and, you know, what's what the kind of a more modern way of doing business is, right? You know, like, I could do old school networking for years, right? Until it's dead completely, like in the BNI groups, or I could learn from the young kids on like, what's the best way to get business right now, right?
What's the cheapest way to get salespeople? He's like, hire 14-year-olds to knock doors, dummy.
He's like, let me build your Facebook ads.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hire this customer support rep, 14-year-olds to do sales. Boom, boom. Rich. And I'm going to be on a mish.
I can go to school.
Dude, they're ended up in jail from hanging out on playgrounds trying to recruit kids. Yeah. They're all getting thrown in jail for the roof. Yeah. I swear, I just wanted them to knock doors for me.
Hey, kid, how old are you? What? Creeper. Yeah. I'm trying to pay you, fool.
Yeah.
But you still do a lot, though, right? Like, you're not, like, just delegating, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
obviously,
yeah,
you have to be able to do it all, but it's like, you're still taking your shifts of probably driving the truck or getting people to drive the truck or, you know, rallying the kids to go out and knock, and you're still fitting in freaking high school baseball program. Like, you know, you're still doing a lot, right? And so I think that's huge, man. It's like, hey, man, I went and found some qualified people that are better at stuff than I am. I delegate to them. Yeah. But I'm also not lazy either. I don't just like, okay, cool. Like, I've got these things going. I'm just going to sit back and chill. You're like, working on the next thing.
Yeah, so something I've always loved is learning, like, new things. So the real estate project I've got going on here in town, we're building some mini homes.
But
listen, hear me out. Hear me out.
My real estate project.
Hear me out.
And it ain't in no project, son.
I think Caden messaged us about that. Right. I haven't looked into it yet. So let's hear about it.
Oh, is that with you?
Yeah.
You and your bro are in that together. Okay.
Yeah, so
yeah, he sent that.
We started that before he left, but there's just some tiny homes that we've built, and then so they
out by Hurricane.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So most of them is sold, and then the last two we're keeping as rentals. But like I was going to say, I love like meeting with the contractor and going over and learning like new stuff. Like me and my younger brother, we were up there like sealing the roof and stuff like that. And then all the finish work, like I had done that and he had helped me. And so I love like learning new things. He just turned 16.
So he's learning the game too. Yeah. Huh? Damn, yeah. It is a family affair.
We got Steve on the show, dude.
Yeah, for
what
real.
You guys drinking over there in that water, dude? Entrepreneur success water or what?
Yeah, something like that.
Dude, we might have to have his ass on because then he would officially be the youngest.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We could stop debating between you and your brother and just bring on the youngest.
Yeah, just bring on the young one.
No, good for you. Good for him, man. So you're basically a carpenter, a real estate investor, a trash can cleaner, a Bitcoin baseball miner. Player. A
Bitcoin miner.
Yeah. We were talking about that before.
Yeah, on the World Wide Web, dog.
What is the tiny homes doing? Like, what are you guys? You're raising money for it. That's why Caden messaged us, right?
Yeah. Did he message you guys a while ago?
It's been like a month or month and a half. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got six of them going, and
oh, do you?
Four of them have sold. The last two.
How many investors did you get to help? One, two, three.
So
four,
we have a guy here in town that just
do hard money.
Yeah, hard money. And so,
but you guys aren't afraid to go out and raise some money. Like
no. And then four of them have been sold, and then two of them were turning into long term. Rentals, and then two
Show
more
me the numbers on Ben Blasty, son. So put that up for collateral.
I know.
Dog.
Yeah, let's do that.
You know what I mean?
Let's do that.
If they don't give me that percentage return that you guys put on your pitch
deck, if he hasn't hit projected returns on the real estate, we want to assume some equity in Ben Blasty.
Only 99%, son.
99. Yeah, you're expensive.
How many homes is it?
So six, and then we're starting two more.
Two more.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
So you're going to have eight total?
Yeah.
And you're just going to keep them long-term vacation rental or what?
So four of them have sold, and then two of them turning long-term right now. And then we'll probably figure out to turn the last two into long-term.
Oh.
So the first four were just specs.
So were you guys, was Caden pitching us on putting some money in for a long-term or just a short-term loan?
I don't know what he was hitting you about.
It said about a 12-month
loan.
Yeah,
so just a construction.
Like a 17% or 18% return.
Just a construction
loan. Or something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's cool. I mean, dude, you guys are putting your hands in a lot of different pots, figuring out a bunch of different things, you know. You're really just learning how to hustle and put yourself in all of these different environments where you're learning the right information around the right people, with your head on straight, work ethic, you know, all of the kind of the basic things that people will preach, work hard, you know, except for there's just an element it's a little bit different outside of just working hard. You have to understand the game, and it just feels like your dad did a really good job instilling, like,
producer mindset.
Sales is very important. Like, this is the lifeblood of life itself. Somebody's got to sell somebody something that then has money and then buys something. Like, everything is sold, right? Mm-hmm. And so once you have that skill, you're able to, you know, sell people on investing money into a real estate thing when you sold them a car last week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. And that's one thing that I've learned from the car game is it's a huge hustle game. Like, you've got to get the car in, hurry and get it detailed and then listed. Like, I like to list mine literally the same day that I get it. And then the quicker that you can turn it, the more money you're going to make, just because then you can move on to the next flip or the next flip. Or if I'm finding you a car or something, then the quicker, the better. And so that has taught me to hustle a ton, the cars, and then also the sales too.
There's a lot to be said for, like, not just the hustle, because, dude, you were like, I'm just gonna guess it, maybe the 10th or 15th person that called me to try and help me sell my Tesla. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know it was you at first, but when you were like, hey man, like, you know, like, what's your rock bottom price, you know, what's a fair deal, how can we create a win-win, it was like, oh, okay, I'll talk to this guy, you know. I didn't know it was freaking high school kid.
Like I said, he's 28. You were talking to a guy.
Yeah, you got like hustled. Everybody else that was hustling was just like, dude, I could not. I just literally, I started putting on the freaking ads, like, if you're a car dealer, stop calling me.
Yeah.
You know, but like, everybody wanted to help flip Tesla. Tesla's because they're so hot. But I was willing to talk to him before I even knew it was him, and entertain doing a deal with him, because it was like, you know, like, hey, I want upside for both of us here. Like, what's, you know, let's work on a deal. And it was like, dude, like, people don't get that. Like, so I'm only thinking about that because you're like, dude, the car game's such a hustle. It's like, dude, there's a lot of freaking worms like in that game, dude, yeah. in that car game, just like trying to just take advantage mm-hmm. and that approach of like, dude, how can I create a win-win? Like, you already got yeah. that figured out, bro. Most people in their 40s don't have that figured out. They're yeah. just still trying to freaking get theirs.
And he calls all the ones to say no car dealers because he's like, dealerships or something like that. He's like, I'm a more of a kid that's a dealer of cars. I'm not a dealership, you know?
Yeah, but that's big too, is adding value back to you.
Yeah.
Just because that's how I won your service, like your support. And so, what were you going to say?
Go for it.
I forgot what I was going to say.
But what's the upside for a Bin Blaster franchisee?
Like, what do you mean?
Like, are you guys trying to get that out in more and more cities and locations?
Yeah, so
there's a franchise. What's the structure? Right? You could buy a truck and whatever, start a business, can't you? If yeah. you live in different territories or what?
Yeah, so they've actually gotten a ton of their customers for their new franchises over TikTok, which the people hit them up on TikTok like, hey, I want to bring this to this. And then they send them to a link like, hey, fill out this. We'll see if you approve for it and see if we can get you going there.
What's like the total cost to get going?
$60,000, just a franchise fee.
And then how much is like one of them trucks?
So the trucks new, they're $150,000. I had designed mine with a welder here in town. So I had bought just a Nissan Titan from the auction. Then we put a flatbed on it. And I like designed a metal water tank to go in the back. Then we put this skid on and it's got the water heater and then all the pumps and everything. And so we had designed that truck and we were into like $65,000-$70,000.
But you can just buy one for $150,000?
Yeah.
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 So
you can be in high school and just put one together.
Just
so yeah, you can build be like, one for $60,000.
And then so like we have equity in that truck too, my just God. Because we had done yeah. the work and built it.
That's cool, man. And then what's the royalties? So if I'm like listening to this podcast, I'm some young hustler like you, and I'm like, dude, I can get a couple people driving that truck. Yeah. I can get knocking leads. Doors. And, you yeah. know, I can hustle yeah. this up, right? Like what's the royalties on it?
5%.
5%?
Yeah.
So you can make money. It's not doing upside, yeah. People can make six figures doing Bin Blasters mm-hmm. if they really wanted yeah. to, if they had enough like salespeople out knocking doors and
yeah.
You know, whatever.
Yeah. Right? So I've actually
had. Can one truck produce that or would you have to have multiple trucks?
Yeah. So one truck can do about 1,000 customers and then
a month?
That's when, and also per, it'd probably be about.
Or a year.
Per quarter. Per so 1,000 customers per quarter. Yeah. And then that's when you want to start looking into getting more and more trucks.
How much is the quarterly plan?
So the court back when we were doing the quarterly, I want to say monthly was 25, quarterly was like 45, and then one time was 45.
So 45 a quarter.
45
and
a quarter.
It can do 1,000 cans a quarter, mm-hmm. Or 1,000 customers or 1,000 cans.
So 1,000, it would be 1,000 customers, yeah.
So 450.
So and most people,
$45,000 a
quarter. So you could bring in roughly 200,000, 180, roughly somewhere around there.
Truck,
but yeah. that's if you're maxed out at one truck.
Yeah,
you have to max it out. But if you were at half capacity, you know, then you're still making it's still $100,000. Yes, mm-hmm. you'll have whatever somebody driving this. That
yeah,
but so it sounds like somebody could make you know, $50,000, $60,000, pretty easy.
Well, it's been a pretty good cash cow. Is we've started doing dumpsters, so we. Down in Vegas, there's a little part that went on our truck. It's a long vacuum that goes into the dumpster, and then our driver gets in there, sprays out the dumpster, and then vacuums the water out, and we can charge like $250 to $300 per dumpster. So that does really good, and it doesn't take a long time either. But we can go sign up these complexes that have dumpsters and clean all their dumpsters and make good money doing that too.
Yeah, that's a cool franchise.
Yeah.
Like if I was like, man, I'm looking for something that – you know, can be a franchise that could be like affordable to get into. Mm-hmm. Like I would already be thinking about like scaling to 5 trucks and
yeah.
making $1 million a year.
Yeah.
You know,
for sure. And then what's nice too, is it comes with the customer service late rep. And so she handles everything. She creates your schedule. So we have a driver and it's just like them two talking all day. They say, hey, maybe the cans weren't out at this house. Can you message them? And then they're messaging back and forth. She messages the customer or calls them. And it says, okay, head to this next one, then swing back around or whatever. But it's kind of nice because she handles everything. If not, my phone would be blowing up all day long.
Yeah.
Just like, hey, they said their cans weren't clean enough, or like, hey, their cans weren't outside. Can you figure it out? And then I've got to go and look at the schedule and the route. Like, but it's nice because she handles everything. And then the people up at corporate, they do all the marketing and stuff. So you just say like, I want to spend this much a month on Facebook ads, and they pump out Facebook ads and change the ads and
target your, the area they're in.
Yeah.
So do you buy like an area?
Yeah.
If you buy that, that's cool.
Yeah. You get an area code.
Dang, son, you got businesses in different area codes, homie.
Yeah.
Real estate.
Real estate.
Yeah. Sounds so cool. My money's tied up in real estate, dude. Like all automatic.
I'm sorry.
You know what I mean? Like when people say that, it's just like, wow.
Wow.
Big player.
Wow.
You know?
You're so cool.
It's like greater than money. It's real estate. Wow. It prints money.
Yeah. Trevor's so cool. He's got real estate. Yeah,
I don't. No. You got, your portfolio is bigger than mine, bro. Oh. You know? Kel's got real estate in different area codes.
You guys are pretty diverse, Texas, though, too, aren't you?
You know?
You've got franchises. Don't you? Everbowl, like just a bunch of different stuff like that.
Yeah, we're just rolling in the money.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
what
all
I mean?
It comes down
to. Yeah, we got in those Mexican restaurants. Those will probably do good.
Those will do good.
And then we got in Wag's other brands like Hello Sugar, cool. Dirty Bird Fried Chicken, Everbowl. You know,
yeah.
They're producing cash, like, but like, there's not really dividends with all the inflation we've been going through right now. So, you know, you hold tight on some of those things, man. You know, bought real estate in Dallas.
What if we would have been real estate?
What if we just given the money to the Terrys, bro?
Yeah,
we have like 10 trucks going right now and like 10 area codes.
Yeah.
Should have dropped them a milli, dog. That could have gone a milli. Bro.
Could have gone a long ways.
Yeah.
Real estate.
Yeah, real estate.
Like we want two cars. Tiny homes. We want two bin blaster trucks.
Yeah, dude. He's this guy a la carte over here. You're like a fast food for businesses. I can get a new car from you, or I can get a franchise from you, or I can invest into real estate with
a mini home.
Just what you need.
Whatever
you
need.
Like, I got you. I'll figure it out, you know? But that's the attitude that you really have to have as an entrepreneur. Is like, what do you need? Oh, there's a gap in the market? Okay. Well, I need money and you need this. What if I give you that? You know? Like, I'll play middleman and buyer, seller. Cool.
Yeah, but I've always thought that you have like one main source and then you invest in other things. Like I would say my main source is cars just because that's what I make the most money from. Then I'm invested into the bin blasters, into the real estate and just like all the other stuff. But
what was the dollar worth of cars that you flipped just in your senior year, like this last year in high
school?
So
2022, I want to say it was like 2.2 million
in cars.
Yeah. I honestly would probably say that I'm at that, if not more, this year. This year's been a
so
good
in the
year.
Last 12 to 18 months you've sold 5 million in cars,
probably
something like that,
around there,
something like that.
And then you don't go live large, you're just like,
that's
I'll
bullshit.
Do this with my brother and I'll put this money into bin blasters. And
he Porsches it, bro. He's whipping hard, dog.
What are you driving?
The Porsche that I'm flipping, and then I've got I don't drive that every day though.
See, dude, this is the thing though. Like,
just the high school, just the high school.
We've talked we've talked about like the spenders and the savers, one or the other. And then when I read Garrett's book, it was like, there's the spenders, which are obviously, you know, people that just can't control their impulses and they just they want something, so they'll go into debt to get it, but it doesn't, you know, do anything for them. It just gets them further into debt. And then there's the savers, and he looks at them like Garrett looks at them as like the misers, right? I'm just saving out of fear, but it's not doing anything for me because it's going to eventually run out. Like people are afraid to touch their 401ks because then they're going to have to pay a penalty or taxes on it. And so they just sit there and hoard out of fear. Right. But then there's the producer mindset. Right. And he goes into like how the producer mindset is like basically what, you know, kind of sounds like you guys have like instilled in your family values, right? Like I want something, how can I get it, but make sure it produces for me. I like driving nice cars. So I'm going to, you know, get Porsches and shit and drive them and have fun while I'm flipping them. Mm-hmm. Right. Like that's kind of the thing that like Garrett was talking about in his book, you know, Killing Sacred Cows, as far as like how to adopt that producer's mindset.
Yeah. And I think that's come just because like back when we were doing the detailing and we see these checks of like 500, then like 1,000, like 750, like these checks coming in, the first thing I would think like, I don't want to spend this. Like I want to just save it and I want to grow it just because it's fun to like just let it sit in your account and just grow.
Like how much can I grow this account?
And like I've always I've always been this way, but like spending money like on just dumb stuff just like stresses me out. Like, and I hate it. Like, I just feel so much worse than like the joy that that crap just brings me. And I don't like just like hoarding crap. Like, so I've always just been a big saver, but then it's kind of turned into like a big investor. Like, it's, I love making the money more than spending the money.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's different from a lot of kids. Like, you see these sales kids that go to like California and all that, and then
knocking doors,
and they make a crap ton of money
for the first time.
Yeah, and they've never had money for the like forever. Yeah. They've never had money, and then they get open to this new world of like hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they don't know what to do with it.
Yep.
So they hit me up and they buy a car, or they like buy these houses, and they buy $1,000 shoes or whatever, just so. Because they don't know what to do with the money, and they're like,
it's because it looks cool on TikTok nowadays. I can't even say cool on Instagram. I guess that's fading away. I don't know.
Instagram.
I don't know. But to look cool on social.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, people have to know how well you did, son.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're kind of insecure, right? Like, you better go be getting those $1,000 so that everybody that you just went to school with a year ago sees that you're doing it up.
That you have the sickest school, the sickest shoes in the school.
The bank account says little, but you know, you try to look like you got it, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
But like, there's a difference between having it and looking like you got it, right? Like, one of them's really got it.
Yeah. One of them does.
Yeah, and one of them's spending it.
There's got to be that. There's got to be that discipline of being the saver for a little bit so that you can actually get a little bit of a base to actually invest, right? Yeah. But then there's going to be that mindset of like, okay, I got to be willing to let it go in the things that I want to produce for me.
Yeah. And there's a balance. There's a balance too, like also treating yourself and buying yourself something, like when you hit like a goal or something, just rewarding yourself, but then like not also like going out of the way and just going crazy.
Yeah, like you like nice shit.
Yeah. Like, obviously, but it's not like I'm going to go drop like
in debt or this or that. Yeah,
like, nothing to like stress me out or like just to look cool.
Like, you ain't wearing and ones from
no.
Oh yeah, no, dude.
What are those? The 170s or 270s? 270s, son.
70s. Everyone's got a pair of them.
Yeah, everybody does. They got them in black. The white ones,
yeah.
They're smooth.
All of them. They do. They were clean when they they're hard to keep clean.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like you do a good job of it. Like, he's in shoe cleaning business now, too, now that he thinks about it.
You guys need your shoes cleaned. Just hit me up.
Real estate. It's like, damn, son. Like Mary Poppins and shit. He kept pulling businesses out. I was like, what the heck is going on here?
You thought that was going to be the whole podcast.
We thought you were going to be educating other people that were listening, not us, on how to diversify your portfolio, you know?
Is that something you're going to do, dude? You're going to start putting, like... some of your gifts out in the world, start educating people or what?
I think that'd be pretty cool. I've been hanging out with Justin Prince, and that's, he's big on that. And so it's kind of put a toll on me. Like, I didn't really realize like the influence that I could have on other people until I started putting out a little bit more stuff on like social media and stuff. And then just like tons of DMs came. So I've been kind of trying to do a little bit more, but it's something. It's not easy, like getting behind the camera and making videos and stuff. It's not easy because you feel like you're going to be judged and stuff. But yeah, I'd like to. I love like adding value to people, and that's a free way you can add value to people, and it's easy. It's just getting over that fear of doing it for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Like, dude, whether you failed at something, you're like, yo, I just learned.
Yeah.
Like, it just hit me that I failed this thing, and here's the reasons why. All of a sudden people are learning from you, right? Hey, I just freaking overcame this and I won. Like, people really just share their journey, bro, their wins and their losses. And it's like adds so much value into the world. And it attracts a lot more to you as well.
Yeah, especially for the younger kids. I feel like I've been a pretty big influence on them so they can see like what they can do.
Yeah.
It's not like I've always been a big believer that like kids can, I can be an example of this. Kids can work and make it during high school. Like, your age doesn't matter really. There's ways to make money and everything. If it's like flipping stuff on marketplace, like your Tesla's, that's a big example, but that your Tesla's on marketplace. I've flipped like wheels and tires, something as small as like $500 on there, and sold them for 900, made $400 or whatever, like utility trailers. But there's ways that you can make money doing everything. And so I've kind of tried to push that like on my social medias, like, to get that to kids and have that be an example of like your age doesn't really matter. A lot of kids think like, oh, like I'm just going to go to college and like I'll wait. But yeah, it's like, well, why?
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, look at the world, dude. I mean, there's not a whole lot of examples that show that they can, right? Like when Jackie Robinson first played baseball, he was the first black baseball player. He showed what was possible. The guy that ran the mile in under 4 minutes showed what's possible. Like Travis Pastrana, right? The double backflip. Nobody was doing that shit on a motorcycle, you know? And then he does it. Guess what? Everybody does it, right? And so it's like somebody has to be the example to show what's possible, and then the doors open up, and it allows a lot of people to do the exact same thing. I'll tell you this much. There wasn't examples around me in any high school situation outside of, you know, slanging weed or whatever, like back in the day or whatever. Like that's what you thought you could do to make money as a high schooler, right? Somebody was not an example. We weren't great enough at your age to do what you're doing, or we would have done it, right? And so it's like you're doing a lot more than I think that you realize by just doing it. Even if you did it for yourself, you would create a huge ripple effect of being like, well, dude, so-and-so did it. And then that's opening the door. Now there, maybe in the next 2 or 3 years, there's going to be 5 of you in your school. And then 2 or 3 years after that, there's 15, and it becomes slowly more and more common. Yeah. But somebody has to do it first and be the example. And I think that you guys have done an amazing job doing that. Yeah. Right? Like you probably
and evolution will them. Happen. Yeah. Bro. Like Caden, his brother Caden was doing that. And then I see you a couple of years later bringing Justin in to speak to your entire classmates about entrepreneurship. You know what I mean? It's like, dude, that's going to spark something really big, right? There's probably more kids literally in high school making more money in our town because of what you guys have done.
Yeah, it for sure has sparked something. So it's pretty cool to have like an influence on the kids, especially the younger kids. And I feel like that's one of my purposes and why I've been gifted the drive that I have at such a young age is to share it and help these other kids grow and find. The biggest thing is just to find motivation and then to not be scared to just like start something. Like if you want to start a window cleaning business, go get the stuff and like just start it. Or if you want to start painting house numbers on curbs, just start it. Like you can start that with $20.
Yeah.
Like just go start it. But you're not going to get anything done if you don't start it and if you don't have like the drive to actually go and do it every day. But and then just build on top of that, and one thing leads to another. You don't know like what the second thing will be. But like, just do that first thing and it'll lead and more doors will open. And then like if a year or a year and a half ago, you would have told me that I would have owned a trash can cleaning company. I would have been like, that's so dumb. Like why? Or like, if you would have told me that I would have had like these little houses, like
real estate. Yeah, he was trying to say these little houses, this real estate. He didn't want to say it again. That's a big time. I'm signed.
No, but like, I would have
high school no more.
I would have told you like you're crazy, like. Yeah. But like one thing has led to another, and then things have just grown. Like if, for example, like if you would have said that I'd get into exotics, it'd be like, no, like I'm gonna stick with these little cars. But now I've learned to flip these like exotic cars with none of my money.
Yeah.
And then it's like just grown on top of these trade-ins from dealerships, but. Yeah, I just say.
Well, if you didn't start the car cleaning detail business, it wouldn't have got you to the car dealer that wanted you to get rid of a couple cars on the side. That wouldn't have got you into, you know what I mean? Then looking for deals that would ultimately lead to then selling exotics, you know, and finding leads. In other words, going to places with free information, displaying their phone number and calling them and asking them to sell, you know, that allowed you to make enough money to put yourself in a position where you could start looking at real estate or franchising, right? Like if you look back, everything, there was a start that led to something else, that led to something else, that led to something else.
Yeah.
And without a doubt, it doesn't matter what it is. Like it will lead to something else, right?
And the crazy thing is I did not want to start the detailing. Just because I was so, like I said, I was so young.
11 or whatever.
Yeah, I was 11 and like playing baseball full time and going to school like every day. And I just didn't want to start. It was hot outside. We're doing this in our garage. Like I didn't want to. I didn't have any motivation. And then one thing leads to another, and then you just build on top of that.
A few paychecks.
Yeah, a few paychecks.
A little more ambition, right?
Yeah, that helps a little bit.
I feel
bit.
Like the Kyler Terry formula is make time, not excuses, get started, let it evolve,
yeah,
and do more, right? Yeah. Like,
just keep growing.
Think sure. bigger, right? Yeah. Think bigger, and then more yeah. evolution will happen. It's like,
yeah,
you know, because a lot of people, you know, dude, people have been in business a long time. Like, they stay in like the wheelhouse that they're in because that's all they really believe that they're worth. Like, there's people that are flipping cars on a used car lot that aren't over $20,000 because that's all they really believe, right? Like, to them, for them to go to exotics is probably super scary because they just haven't like elevated their worth to that level yet, right? But you're already doing it. You already, you know, graduated from flipping low end cars to high end cars real quick.
Yeah.
Is there more money in high-end?
Watch
or
this shit, yeah, for sure. You ready for my prediction? We talked about one thing leading to another, right? He's going to go on his mission. He's going to come back. We're going to see on his social media within 2 years of him and me back, he's going to be flipping like jets and shit.
Yeah,
he's going to go yachts. From yachts and jets, and he'll go to the next expensive yeah. thing, right? Yeah. From exotics to the next thing that yeah. an exotic car owner would own.
Yeah.
A dude, plane. We need someone listening some right yachts. Now to call you and buy a Bim Blasters franchise so that Trev and I can be like, dude, you owe us.
You owe us, yeah. some you owe money, us bro.
Something. When he makes it you know, time, like,
we were the guys. We need you.
We need you to flip a jet to us without yeah. making a commission for yeah. that time we had you in the podcast and you sold the Bim Blasters franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll take credit for putting him on. As of when he was on, he already had four things. One of them yeah. being real estate. Which
really yeah, you guys can post on
yeah. him. Look, like, yeah, he, you know, he was just a high school kid when we had him on, and now look at him.
Yeah, we just wanted to see.
Which is true.
It wasn't for us. Know,
yeah.
We just you wanted know? To see, like, what high school kids are like nowadays.
Yeah.
And we had such a big impact yeah. on him.
And now he's got four now he's things got in a his jet. Portfolio and starting to flip jets.
Mm. You know, this all guy. Because of us.
Yeah, yeah. That's what we can do.
Well, before we end, has it been an hour?
Yeah, probably.
Well, before we end, like, what is it that you think, you know, because, like, we talked about your dad a little bit. We got to give him some credit, right? Like, dude, Kaden, yeah. you, your little brother's even involved. Like, what do you think it is? Like, what are the some traits that your dad has followed and instilled in you guys to, like, create a producer's mindset? Like, that's cool. He gave you a loan. Like, he obviously inspired you, but there's got to be some habits and some things that some talks, some, you know, yeah. some things that he's done to, like, really keep you guys believing that you're worth more and think bigger and do the things that you're doing.
Yeah. So, he's one of the hardest working people I've ever seen. He's at the office all day long and he's just grinding. And so that's something that I've looked up to. And then also he's put it pretty deep into us. He's always said, be a producer and not a consumer. So you want to add value to people. Like, even if you're not expecting anything from them and you don't want to be that person that's always like biting at people. I'm going to consume from you. I'm going to take something from you and I'm going to figure out how to live that way. He's like, always be a producer. But like I said, he's always just taught us how to work hard. So back in 2008, he was young. I think he was probably 25 or something. And he had a ton of money in houses, big houses. Mm-hmm. And then the crash happened and he lost every dollar of it, filed bankruptcy. And so he's had to completely restart. Like, and he had a lot of money. He was young. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to say like $5 to $10 million in cash just in these big homes. And he had them leveraged, so then the bank or the market turned. He had these payments, and he's just like, "What in the world am I going to do?" And so,
yeah, I watched it happen a little bit because I was me and your dad were neighbors.
Yeah,
and we lived in the Fields neighborhood in 2002 for a couple years, you know. And like, I watched your dad freaking dude. He had some pep in his step walking around the neighborhood. He was slinging a lot of homes in that neighborhood, dude. And then I'm also friends with Mike Nielsen, who he was friends with, and I kind of watched all those guys like. I saw the crash take him down, like, you know, they were wearing it hard for a little bit, you know what I mean?
But
he did, he bounced back, man. I see him now at all the ball games and stuff. Like,
some people might still be wearing that 08.
Some people live in that forever, right?
I had a portfolio of real estate. I had a Porsche. And a Porsche. And then 2008 hit. They're still telling that story.
Some of them
and
are,
it's 15 years later.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Back before 08.
Yeah. I had good credit. I had 12 trucks
outrun them for me.
It's like, well, cool. What have you done since?
Yeah. No, but it is cool to take that example because he did have to completely restart. And he's absolutely grinded from then. Like, back in the day, we lived in a tiny apartment. We went from a huge, like, $3 million parade house, which back in the day, that was big. Like, one of the biggest parade houses that year that he had built, we lived in that. And then the market crashed. We moved Sports Village, a one-bedroom house. And me and my younger brother and my dad slept on the bed. And then Caden blew up an air mattress every night and slept in there. And so, like, looking at that back then, like, I had no idea that times were that bad. And now, being so thankful that he's doing as well as he is. And my mom too, she's killing it as well. But it's crazy to see them just absolutely grind and to the point that they are now. And so it's been pretty cool.
Yeah. Was he pretty transparent with you guys as he's going through it? Like, hey, we're going to pull out of this. Make sacrifices, kind of like teaching you the lessons as you go.
Yeah. But I was so young that I had no idea. Like, it didn't, I was like, wait, why are we moving into such a small house? Like, I like this big house. Like, he's like, oh, we just need to, like, downsize a little. Like, and I was like, okay. The other one has a swimming pool. I owned one of those.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. Yeah. You can see how a little kid
I bought it as an investment property. It was my very first investment property, dude. They're small.
Yeah,
you know, tiny. One bedroom, it's tiny literally kitchen, a hotel tiny room. Living room.
Yeah, hotel
it's
room.
It's pretty much a glorified hotel room.
It's a long, long.
With a bedroom that separates it.
But, dude, you still had fun, though, because they got the mini golf and the pool.
And that's why I was like, okay. I'll give up this huge. And I was probably like four. I was like, I'll give up this house. So I was like, wait, we get a freaking pool and a racketball court. Like, sign me up. Much.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
Dangle something else shiny over here. Even if it's way less, they'll be like, oh, cool. Another shiny object. Okay.
Oh, sweet. Cool. Yeah. Let's do it.
Let's go.
Yeah. Golf. Yeah, mini golf. Yeah. Like, I don't have one of these at this house. So let's bounce. Yeah.
And we get to sleep together.
Dad, I get
this. This is awesome. I've been begging to sleep in your bed.
Yeah, that's exactly how it is.
You guys kicked me out 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably what they think, right? Like, that's what they care about, not the big ass house that we think that they care about.
Oh, yeah. You know? 100%. No.
So that's
funny. But yeah, it's been cool to grow with both of them. And that's cool. Yeah. Just grow as they've grown.
That's rad.
Your social, your date of birth. And then you can verify on the podcast.
Then you'll let me leave?
And then we'll let you leave.
Yeah. I don't even know. I couldn't even tell you what my social is, dude.
Really?
That's how young I am.
He's not old enough yet to memorize. That's not important.
No, because I have to text my dad and say, hey, what's my social? Yeah, he says, exactly. What bank account are you logging into
that
now?
That shows you anything's possible.
Just text him right now for it.
Know his own identification.
Say, Kellen Trevor need my social. He'll be like, what?
Yeah.
No, I'm not sending
for the podcast.
Are they doing your accounting or something?
Send over a text of your birth certificate. Yeah, that's what we're really looking for. You know, we want to see that. What year were you born for real?
2004. Yeah. It's funny that. So I started going to Fitness Culture where you guys go. And they're like, how old are you? Or no, I got in. They didn't ask me how old I was. And then Ty Mendez, he's like, dude, how old are you? And I was like, well, I'm like 17, but like here I'm 18. And he's like, oh no, dude, you're good. Like, it's just for insurance or whatever. But I was like,
you got to be 18 to work out there?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how they let me in, but they did. I'm 18 now, though, so don't kick me out.
When did you turn 18?
September 2nd.
Oh. So you are an old dog for your age.
Oh, whatever. You not should be 28.
You should be in 13th grade, dude. Not
13th grade.
13th grade.
I should be.
So, dude, it was good to have you on, bro. It was good to hear your story.
Yeah, thank you.
You're going on your mission. You're going to speak a language that I've never heard.
Yeah.
Which is?
Kirbati. It's... We do
not karate.
No, it's close.
He's not going to China.
The same. Might be the same.
Karate, Japan.
Yeah, so I'm going to the Marshall Islands, and I leave August 7th.
I don't even know what that is, bro.
Tiny islands, bro.
Where are they by?
So they're kind of by Fiji.
Oh, cool.
Hawaii.
Yeah, Polynesian, Black Islands, or whatever. Like,
they're not even islands. They're so small that they're called like atolls. And so it's like a road. And then on one side is like a lagoon in the middle. And then the other side is like a house and a beach. That's how small the islands are. There's 33 of them.
People live. I'd be kind of scared to live somewhere. It's going to be intimate.
Oh, yeah.
For like tropical storms and shit.
Yeah, that is a trip, bro.
Well, I'll be no AC, little tiki huts, sandals.
Like, dude, the storm wiped out my garden and now I have no food.
Yeah. Now I got to go spear fish.
I've got 8 weeks to grow again.
I got eight weeks.
To grow food again.
Can't eat for 8 weeks.
I'm on a carnivore diet.
Wiped out my garden and broke.
Yeah.
my leg, so I can't spearfish. Like, what am I going to, I'm just going to wither away to nothing here.
Let me ask you a question in regards to your mission. Like, has that something that you've always wanted to do ever since you were little? You always saw that. You watched your brother do it. You wanted to do all that. And, like, in preparation for it, like, are you changing your habits? Like, are you reading the, you know, the Book of Mormon and the Bible or whatever, like, a lot more frequently in terms of preparation? Have you felt like that your spirituality has grown since you made that commitment? Because in some cases, things grow just by the commitment that we make. We feel a different level, right? And yes, we are talking about more spiritually here, right? But like this goes even in fitness. When you make a commitment, when you're there, it feels different, right? Like if you recommit to your relationships or whatever it is, like your spouse, it feels different. Right. And so making as big of a commitment as you made to go serve a mission for, you know, a year and a half or 2 years, has it just, have things felt different in terms of your faith?
No, yeah, for sure. Since I got my call, then it's like, okay, I'm doing this 100%. Like Caden's been doing basically everything with the Bin Blasters, and it's like, I'm going to really focus on this so I can add as much value to the people on the islands that I can. Yeah. And I'm going to study as hard as I can, and I'm going to get as ready for my mission as I can. Mm. And yeah, it has been something that I've done that I've wanted to do since I was born. Like it's something that I've actually told myself I'm going to do for the longest time. And so
has it been hard to commit, like especially in this day and age with cell phones, and we're so connected like to the surface level of society to make a commitment like that? Because I mean, I would think years ago it would be a little bit easier because, you know, it was, you know,
we only had pagers.
Pagers.
Yeah, you write notes.
Even before pagers, right? The social media, all of that, right?
Yeah.
Did it make it hard? Did you question it, or were you just like, dude, I'm ready? Like,
so I was ready, but the hardest thing was like turning over the businesses. Yeah, and having faith that Caden's got me. He's got my back, and my dad. Like when I come home, they'll be way bigger than they are right now. And so that was the hardest thing. Just
More real estate.
More real estate, yeah, maybe. Yeah. But I get asked that a lot. Like, are you worried? You've built all this up and now you're just going to leave it for 2 years? And I'm like, yeah, I've got faith in my partners that they've got my back. And
well,
so
obviously you have faith in God.
Yeah.
And that faith gives you faith in your partners.
For
right?
sure, yeah. Well,
like for people listening that don't really know what a mission is, like, you know, because like LDS is, you know, it's bigger in our area, but not everywhere. Yeah, I mean, like the LDS church, they send these kids on a mission, but to prepare to go on a mission like these islands, right? Like you got to learn what language?
Kirbati.
And how long do they give you to learn that language before you get there?
Yeah, not long at all.
So the missionary training center is only
a
couple months?
I think it's like a month or something like that. So I'm here doing home MTC for a week, and then I'm not sure how long it is.
Are you already studying the language?
No, because I freaking looked on Duolingo and it's not even on there. Duolingo is like an app that they have us use in school.
Yeah.
Because
they haven't even heard of it, bro.
Yeah. You got a month or two to like learn this language before you land there and start, you know,
teaching the people,
selling LDS religion door to door.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
In a language that you just learned. Like,
well, people that I don't know. Yeah. I'm like my companion I've never met before.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be there for 2 years. Dude, middle of the ocean. Speaking a language I've never.
Talk about freaking getting out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
That's
and that's something.
I think that's the best way to do it, though, is like not like try to train them for.
Yeah, immerse yourself.
Yeah. Go into the culture.
Yeah.
Stare at somebody awkwardly like you don't know what each other's thinking or saying that's going to make you, oh, that's what it was, right? Like really.
Well, just like all the business that we're talking about, dude. It's like you didn't know how to flip cars. Even though your dad gave you guys a $350 loan to start a car wash business, you didn't know how to flip them. You like immersed yourself in this industry, and one thing led to another, like we talked about. It's like you just figure it out as you go.
You're gonna grow so much more like when you're uncomfortable, for sure. And that's something that I'm excited for, is because I'm gonna be so uncomfortable, like in the middle of nowhere, sleep, like not even getting any sleep, and teaching the people about the gospel. And it's like not something I'm comfortable with, but it's something that I know that I'll grow so much on my mission, even if it's just to help me in business or just to help me be a better influence to other people. But I know that it'll add value to me, just like I'm going to add value to the people there on the islands. So I'm excited to grow.
When do you bounce?
August 7th. So I got dang, I got summer, bro. Up, bro. It is, but I got all summer.
That's crazy,
yeah, dude. Yeah. Yeah, you're gonna have fun.
I guess
yeah.
when you're only 18, dude, like 2 months is still like 8 years.
Afterlife.
You know what I mean? Like when you're this old, you're like, bro, 2 months, dude, a blink of an eye, it's yeah. gonna be here like that, right? Yeah. Like a kid's, you know,
trip to Virgin and back.
Yeah, like bro, yeah. boom, and it's gone. You know, yeah. that's ours is like dog years. It's like 7 year in. Dog. In one, yes. like pass wise.
Like, damn, yeah, my kid's sure. graduating already.
Yeah, yeah. Where the hell? Yeah, yeah.
It's just in T-ball.
Yeah, seriously.
No, dude, this is great, man. What a treat that you, yeah. your brother, you know, you guys' whole family, man. What a treat it is to like have you guys on. And
it's not the Brady Bunch, it's the Terry Bunch. Bro.
Terry Bunch, dude. It's great. Like, I don't know what to do now. Like, do we wait and have your little bro on, and then interview your dad so that everyone that's listened for a long period of time is like,
meet the they family.
Got the Terry story.
Yeah.
Bro.
There's a whole squad. Yeah, yeah.
Or do
yeah,
we hit yeah. your dad and be like, bro?
Hit the dad, hit my dad, and then
yeah. And then bro, wait till he outages you so yeah. that
we so that can I can still have be,
that debate.
Yeah, still be yeah. the youngest. We'll just say I'm the youngest. We'll that, that's the title.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, do you got any sure. final thoughts or messages for anyone, bro? Like, is there anything you wanted to say on the podcast?
I think we talked about a lot of stuff. Out. Yeah,
real estate for me.
Real estate. That's all I wanted to talk
yeah,
about.
Yeah,
portfolio.
Yo, I got an exotic for you, and I'll blast your bins.
Yeah,
you know.
No, but if you guys are looking for a car, I'll be here for two more months, and I can find you whatever you need. Just hit me up on Instagram, Kyler5Terry. We can go from there. Just find you exactly five, what you want.
Yeah, Kyler 5, just the number 5.
Number 5.
Baseball number.
And Terry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll put it in the bio thing of the whatever they call that for the episode.
Cool.
Yeah.
Show notes cool. or something like that for you guys to reach out to. Dude, thanks for coming on.
Yeah,
for
thank real. You guys appreciate for having
dude,
me.
You're always cool to see at the gym. Thank you for always listening to me talk shit at the gym. And then thanks for coming on, bro. Yeah, I'm excited to see what you guys
thanks
do.
Thanks for giggling at his shit talk at the gym, dude.
Yeah. I'm the only one that can payoff, take it. Right? Everyone yeah, else is like this. Who's this guy?
Yeah, I know.
He's just ripping into some 18-year-old.
I know. And they're like, dang, this guy's going hard at
jeez,
that kid.
Is that his dad? Yeah, I don't think it's like, this is
Trevor
dad.
Really needs to like go freaking coach a high school team when
I'm ready.
Sailed off when I'm from ready. The business world.
Yeah, when you make you like a fitness coach or something at the high school, like just the fit.
I'm already self-proclaimed that, bro. I'm like, yo, how much weight you curling over there?
Come up on, bro.
Come on.
Come on.
go down slower. You ever heard of
The quote I want to get on a shirt is, he said, the only drop sets I do is when I'm dropping the weight on the stack, getting heavier. I don't do drop sets.
Yeah.
It's like I drop the
I ain't
pin.
Dropping it in terms of lightening the load.
We got to get that on a shirt.
The only drop set I get is I get heavier. So.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
get that on a shirt.
All right, bro. Appreciate you. Guys, if you want an exotic, you know who to hit up. Other than that, make sure that you go to rbolive.com. Get yourself a ticket. Me and Kel are excited about what we're going to produce in Texas, and we hope to see you guys there. Keep kicking ass, taking names. We'll see you next week.